In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. When I looked for references from the fathers of the church, I found very few things about this. It seems very, very straightforward, the gospel that we have just prayed. But there are some things that are very much worth mentioning that the fathers did suggest from the symbolism that we find within the scripture. The first thing is that, you know, it was at the beginning of the Lord's ministry. When he found the people pressing about, he got into the boat. This is very much the position of the rabbi. A rabbi would usually, when he was going to travel, he would bring his chair with him. He had a chair. This is symbolic of the teaching chair of the bishop in a cathedral. The chair in this case had to be the boat. This is where he was, and this was what was capable of being offered. Now, when he went into the boat and began to speak, all of the people assembled. They hushed. You know, one of the things that is important for the Word of God to rest within you is to not have your spirit being busy considering other things. So many people are distracted when they have a chance to meet with God. And so their meeting is kind of like perfunctory. They have an official meeting, but it doesn't go very deep. Now, the Lord asked Simon, after he finished speaking, to launch out into the deep. And Simon replied, "We've fished all night." Yet through the obedience of Simon, he was able to catch a draft of fish that was so numerous and so heavy that his boat began to take on water. And so he was speechless. He waved. It says he beckoned in the scripture, or he signaled. And the sons of Zebedee, James and John, came. You know, when something like this happens, it's an amazing thing. And consider, this is something that you all have experience with. You have a child and you say, at some point, you're going to get an ice cream cone. At some point, every child, whatever the age happens to be, gets an ice cream cone. You can talk about having an ice cream cone for days, but it is not the same as the experience of the ice cream cone. Immediately when you put that ice cream cone into the child's hand, everything that child needs to know is right before him. And when you are in the presence of the Lord and your spirit is quiet, everything that you need to know is going to happen. Now, he told Simon to put out into the deep. Now, I don't know if any of you fish. I fish. I used to. The fish are troubled because they can see what's on the surface of the water. So if you are doing something and if your shadow comes over them, they will depart. So if you're fishing in a stream, for example, you want to cast your line near the banks where there's shade, where it's harder for them to see, and then you have a chance. He said, cast down into the deep. Well, spiritually, this has a completely different meaning. This means that when the Word of God is taught, whether by the Lord himself or one of his ministers, as Father Arsenius and I do for your sake, when we go deep into something, it catches you. And this is the meaning of the draft of fish. You have to go deep. When you go deep into the person, they can't resist it because you are filling the part of their heart for which nothing else has been satisfactory. Simon had heard the preaching of the Lord, and so he didn't argue with him. He simply obeyed, but he said, my expectation isn't very much because of what I've just experienced. We worked all night. The fathers of the church talk about the night is the time before Jesus Christ began his ministry. The night was when the prophets worked, or when all of the other people of God worked. But now the light has come into the world. And as John said, the light was the life of men. Now, when you go down into the deeper meaning of this, you find that when the Jews received the word of God, think the Lord Jesus Christ is the word of God. The preaching is the word of God. The Bible is the written word of God handed down to us. The word of God. When they heard the word of God, they said, we will do and we will understand. Now, you won't find this in any English dictionary because all of the translations are flawed. You have to go to a Hebrew explanation of this scripture. We will do it. The word to hear, Shema, but it has so many layers of meaning. And one of them, it's like when the parent is angry with the child and says, Isma Kalem. It means that I want you to think about what it is I asked you to do, and then to do it, and then to reflect upon your activity with my word so that it imprints itself inside you, so I don't have to repeat myself. Now, that's a very long-winded way to put it, but Isma Kalem is succinct. It means you better get it. You know, this is when the rod comes out. If the carrot won't work, then the stick might do. So Peter didn't bring forth any more of an argument. This is why he wasn't condemned. Oh, ye of little faith, or something to that effect. He just said, it's beyond my comprehension. The Lord understands that. When you have a limited ability to see and to have the insight to make sense of what is happening around you, the Lord is going to, he's going to come generously and help you and give you the experience. So he said, you're a fisherman. I am going to give you something. And then you will understand. Because if I just said to you, Peter, I see something great in you. I want you to come with me and be my disciple. And Peter would say, well, you know, I have a family. You know, I've got daughters. And James and John, well, we've got our father. He's very old. How can we abandon our father? You know, but no. The Lord, in his generosity, said, here's an ice cream cone. Tell me what you think. Taste and see the Lord is good, right? Well, it's the immediacy of the experience. And it is profoundly because these men were so well acquainted with that lake. They fished there all the time. They made their living from that. Sometimes they praised God, and sometimes they asked God, please be more generous with us the next day. Now, here's something that's very, very much like Peter, as we know his personality. He was very ebullient. He was big and massive in his personality. He's in the boat with the Lord, and after the catch of fish, what does he say? Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Now, suppose you met the Pope, Pope Abba Tawadros, and you felt guilty about something, and he knew it, and he did something that just so surprised you, would you say, Sayyidina, depart? Or would you be the one who departs? Who is going to depart? You've read this so many times, but it didn't seem strange to you that Peter is telling the Lord Jesus Christ to depart. He doesn't know. He doesn't know what he's saying. It's like, you're not going to wash my feet. And the Lord says, well, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part in me. Well, then wash me whole from head to toe. That's Peter. Depart from me, O Lord. You know, in polite company, in Spanish, you know, they have, when people are going to leave one another after a conversation, they say, con permiso, with your permission. We used to say in English, by your leave. You'll find this, it's an archaic response. But it means, I'm taking permission to leave your company, not begone. I feel as though I am standing before you naked. I cannot bear this. I know who I am, and next to you, who I am becomes even more difficult to bear. I can't stand myself. Depart from me, O Lord, for I am a sinful man. So the Lord gave these next three words again out of his generosity. He said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Now, afraid of what? Ask Father Arsenius sometime. He'll tell you. When you stand at the altar the first time and you're offering the sacrifice, you're full of fear. You have, if you don't have this sense of fear, then you don't have the sense of the magnitude of what it is you are being invited into. This is why it's so important for the priest to confront this thing alone, without any distractions. It's why I'm going to send you as sheep amongst wolves. Well, how am I not going to be paralyzed by fright? Sheep among wolves, I have experience with that. And the sheep don't win. No, you will win. You will win. And this sign was so indelibly imprinted that it gave them courage. And as they went on, think about Philip. Philip, feed these people. Well, Lord, we only have five loaves and two fish, and what are these amongst so many? And Philip, it's written, he was afraid. He's afraid. Of course he's afraid. He's been asked to do something that is, in his mind, beyond his capacity. But with the Lord, there's little that is beyond our capacity if our wills are the same. If we are in concert, then there is nothing that we cannot do. Because of what happened, we don't have a narrative about the partners with Simon, James, and John, what their response was, what their conversation was. It would be so great to be a fly on the wall, to be able to hear these kinds of things. But then the gospel of the Lord, it couldn't be housed in a single building. But they must have said, this is something that is more than just the preaching that we have heard from John the Baptist. This is more than what we were led to expect when we met the Holy One of Israel. It is like Nathanael who said, Lord, you are Lord, simply because he said, before you came, I saw you under the fig tree. How is this? I expected the Lord to come, but in what way did I expect him to come? When you pray and you ask the Lord for something, how are you expecting him to respond? He may not meet that expectation, but there will be another way for you to meld with him, to be one with him. If you are open to the variety of things that are available to him as God to lead you on a path that maybe you'd never before considered. So we have entered, Father Arsenius and I, we have entered into the fishing business. And we've got a boat. The boat is St. Cyril's Church. And we intend to have a larger draft of fish than are written here. Because at one point, it will come a time when this boat, this physical building, will be insufficient. And we will buy a piece of land, or two, or three, and we will build a cathedral next to this. This will come. This will come. But we have to be willing to toil all night. And that night means, in reflective terms for you, your sin. It means your disagreements. It means your resistance to authority. And it means your unwillingness to turn from self-direction to being directed. Simon, push your boat out. Simon, drop the nets. Simon, you're going to be a fisher of men. When you have the Spirit, you will have more and more and more. And we will be as those who were called by the Lord, fulfilled in your success. Glory be to our God, both now and ever, and to the age of all ages. Amen.